Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fav for Casinos USA Podcast, and welcome to our 119th podcast. And we're coming to you today from Western Pennsylvania, as we always do, but we're just back from a week in Las Vegas, and today's episode is content heavy. And what a strange title, Chewing Out of Your Cage. We better start by explaining that. So sit back and relax and enjoy our September 23rd, 2021 Episode 119, Chewing Out of Your Cage. Well, let me explain the origin of our phrase, chewing out of your cage, because it has a kind of an interesting origin, and feel free to use it from this point in your life. Our little dog, Oliver, came to us from Las Vegas. Our daughter Jill flew him back to Western Pennsylvania when he was just a puppy, you know, probably a couple months old. And Southwest Airlines gave her a approved puppy holder bag that you put underneath the seat, and there wasn't an addition to the fare. So, of course, he took advantage of that. But little puppy Oliver, he's still about the same size. That's why I smile and laugh. But little puppy Oliver didn't like the vibrations and the feeling of flying. And he literally chewed himself out of the bag. And Southwest had charged Jill $50 for this little carrier with the plastic grid. He was so bad that he actually got a letter addressed to Jill, of course, but it involved Oliver, saying that he could no longer fly in Southwest cabins. He would have to fly Southwest cargo, which is, you know, somewhere between $800 and $1,200, depending on the time of the year. So anytime someone's very angry, you know, including the speaker, instead of saying, excuse my language, I'm really pissed off, we just say, I'm chewing out of my cage. Or if we see someone who's very angry and upset, we say, she's chewing out of her cage, or he's chewing out of her cage. And so we're going to start our podcast today by talking about things in Las Vegas that really upset us. And there were some things, you know, since the reopening, it's not exactly the same place that it once was. I want to quote Anthony Curtis, who writes the newsletter for the Las Vegas Advisor. He's the editor and the chief writer. And he's hearing a lot of grumbling about the way things are in the new Las Vegas since the opening. Short staffing, rising prices, higher betting minimums, tighter comps, paid parking, resort fees. It's all coming back. And he says, these are shoddy business practices. And how long can it go on? How long can it go on? It can go on as long as customers will allow it. And he's saying, until there's a revolt, Vegas, the old Vegas that we knew, is not going to come back. And we found that to be true and not true. And to help explain the differences and what we experience, we're going to bring in our partner, my wife, Janie, to talk about chewing out of your cage, especially when it comes to Las Vegas since the opening. Reopening. Let me set the stage for a few horror stories.
Hi, everyone. This is Jane. Okay, I'm going to just start with the negatives first. And we don't usually like to dwell on negatives on this show. I don't know if you've picked up on that, but we try to always accentuate the positives. Our first negative came with the airline, Southwest. We had a nonstop from Pittsburgh to Las Vegas. Okay, we get an email from Southwest probably a month before, or maybe 3 weeks before, telling us that our nonstop was now stopping in two cities and it would take 8 hours. So we just said, you know, we're not going to do that. I mean, we're just going to cancel it. But we called and we were able to get the 7 a.m. flight that same day, luckily. And so we went nonstop. But airlines have been doing this lately. They have been changing flights. Everybody I've talked to that has flown somewhere has had some kind of shift. They either are leaving later, they're delayed, their nonstop has to stop. So I would just advise you to always check beforehand if you haven't gotten any notice from the airlines. But that one we resolved ahead of time, and everything was fine. We got on the flight. We, you know, got there with no incidents.
And because of that, we then booked early check-in at the Luxor because we knew we'd be getting there long before 4 o'clock.
Oh, right, right. See, we figured we didn't need early check-in with the first flight, but with this one, we had to pay the extra for the early check-in, but that paid off because we checked in at 11:15. I just wanted to mention that when we did get to the airport, my daughter drove her vehicle over to pick us up, and my grandson drove his also because they weren't sure about how many bags between us because they were picking us up and our friends that went with us, which was a nice, really nice treat to have them pick us up. We hadn't seen them since COVID started, and we hadn't seen them since 2019, so it was nice to see them. And then we decided it was early to check in, even with early check-in, so we went to an IHOP close to the airport, and we all had breakfast. It was a really nice, relaxing breakfast to start off the trip on a positive note.
Yeah, and I have to say, McCarran's pretty efficient with getting the baggage to you quickly, so, you know, it was good. They picked us up at the airport, took us to the IHOP, and then on to the Luxor.
Right. It's just nice when you have someone doing it, taking you there and dropping you off and whatever. So that part was all very good. Now, what I want to mention next is if you're used to getting a room with a refrigerator, most suites have refrigerators for sure. But if you're used to getting one or you have paid extra in the past to have a refrigerator put in, which you can do if they have them available, they ask you when you request one, is it for medical reasons? Because a lot of people have medication that needs refrigerated. And so you tell them they will do that for no charge if it's a medical reason. But they're not doing that now. If you have, and they don't tell you this either. Instead of getting a refrigerator brought to the room, they bring this little device that's about as big as a shoebox. It's a white plastic device that has to be plugged into the wall, a wall plug, and it's for medication, and that's about all that will fit in it. You can't put foods in it.
It's so small. It's a tiny refrigerator, but all it will take is just a little bit of medicine.
Right. So, I mean, if you're expecting a refrigerator or if you have to have some food for certain reasons, certain conditions, you know, that you blood sugar cases or any digestive issues, that you have to have refrigerated medications and or certain foods or liquids, you might go over this with them. Now, this was just at the Luxor. I don't know if the other hotels have decided to do that or not with this little device. But that's just something that you might want to check in. Now, all that next thing was the room next to us. It had been very quiet. And then all of a sudden, there was this horrific fight between a couple in the room next to us. I mean, it was so loud that a security guard walking down the hall knocked on our door to see. He said, "Would you like to be moved? Because I'm going to be sending some people up to this room."
Yeah, he was hesitant to go in by himself because they were threatening to kill one another in there, and they were throwing things. And so he was waiting for his team, and
right.
He said he would call down and get us moved because he didn't want us to be near this room.
Right. So that we said, well, okay, you know, what's the difference? We'll just move. He had sent the bellman up and the carts, and they moved us to another room to get away from this. I guess he was – now, whether he had already had something – reported from that room or not, I don't know, but he thought there was going to be an issue, so.
And they threw in a regular refrigerator. That was a great part of the deal.
Yeah, so we got a refrigerator out of that part of it. Okay, I also would like to alert everybody to the fact that in the restaurants in the casinos have really gone up in pricing. For instance, it was a Sunday night. The Raider fans were in town for the big game Monday night. And so all the prices were up to begin with. So we were eating at the Public House restaurant. And we had two fish and chip dinners with just two non-alcoholic drinks, an iced tea and a Diet Coke, I believe. And we had a $50 hotel credit for food, which we used, and it was $32 over that. It was $82. $82 for two fish and chips. Now, we could have, a couple nights later, we ate at a very upscale Irish pub, the Re-Raw.
In Mandalay Bay Walkway.
In the Mandalay Bay Walkway, and it was cheaper for their, really, it was amazing.
And much, much better.
It was excellent. Yeah, I mean, the fish and chips was okay, but it was nothing to write home about. Some people criticize the buffets everywhere, but I'm thinking, you know, you would have been better off. We'd have been better off having had a buffet for $29 a person where we'd have a vast choice of food. Not that we would pile up and eat a lot of food, but we would have at least a choice of dishes.
$83 with no alcoholic drinks.
No.
Why not go to the buffet and get what you want?
Because at least they have all kind of salad fixings and different things. Now, unfortunately, Luxor Buffet isn't open in the evenings. They're only open for brunch now, which is another thing that's changed. Every hotel or every casino hotel does not have their old hours of operation for their buffets. Some buffets have not reopened. Some open, but only for brunch or only for breakfast and lunch. So all of this has changed.
But despite those negatives, there were a lot of positives about staying at the Luxor and some real big advantages if you enjoy pools. But first of all, most of us enjoy gambling as much as or more than we enjoy swimming pools. And our friends had some great success on, I would call them the Space Kyle slots.
Yes, yeah, the Space Kyle slots.
You know, several hundred dollars. So that was a great thing.
Okay, then we went to see the Titanic exhibition, which was really, really good. And the whole time I was going through it, I kept thinking, well, how did the Luxor get this? Well, shouldn't this be in a museum? It was very informative. And at the end, it does tell you how they were able to obtain that. It's well worth the fee to go in there.
The other thing we realized, if we looked out our window, we could see Allegiant Stadium, that in the southern end of the strip, particularly the Luxor and Mandalay Bay, you can even throw in Excalibur because of the tram. It's free transportation.
Right.
You can walk. There's a walkway to Allegiant Stadium.
Well, it's a road that they close to traffic.
Right, and that's a great advantage because if you try to get transportation on game day, well, forget Uber because they're going to have surge pricing. And there's such traffic issues that even locals say they have to go to the stadium 3 hours early to get a place to park because there's so much congestion.
At least a minimum of $100 to park.
Yeah. So, staying at the Luxor makes great sense. And also, the other thing about the Luxor that's so important, the casinos are charging for pool chairs, $10 and up, all over Las Vegas, except at the Luxor. There's still dozens and dozens of free chairs.
The Luxor has an amazing pool area. They have 5 pools. Now, they aren't all open unless they're very crowded. They aren't all open at the same time right now. But it was hot when we were there at 106, 105. So they open at least 2 at the time. But the chairs, there's so many chairs available, and you don't pay anything for them. Their pool policy is very liberal. You can have as many tiles as you want. And the grounds around the pool, it's just huge. You're not going to find many hotels with a pool area like the Luxor. They win out on that one.
And I want to make a note here. If you do like the pool scene in Las Vegas, the Luxor, stay in the West Tower, because the elevators open in front of the pool doors,
yeah, right.
Which means you don't have to go through a casino with wet trunks.
Right, yeah, that's a real plus. We all like that. We always stayed in the East Tower before.
Yeah.
And this time we stayed in the West Tower, and we were expecting, from everything we'd seen on YouTube videos and what we've heard and seen in the printed literature, that we couldn't get any kind of pool chairs. For example, my daughter-in-law and her mother were out there in July. They were staying at MGM. And she was so furious about the pool situation. They couldn't get, not only did you have to pay for the chairs, there weren't any available. They had to just sit on the edge of the pool. And then they couldn't go to the Lazy River. You had to pay another extra fee, but you had to stand in this huge line even if you did that. So they didn't do the lazy river. She just said she had never stayed there, and the pool situation was really ugly.
At the end of our 4 days and nights at the Luxor, we moved to a suite at Harrah's in Mid-Strip.
Okay, in Harrah's, it was a very nice suite that we got, but our early check-in that we paid for didn't work there. We didn't get in till 2:30, so that was somewhat of a negative. I'd say the big negative there, don't go there if you want to ever use a pool. Their pool situation is one of the worst I have ever seen in Las Vegas, and I've stayed at just about every hotel on the Strip. They have one large, one deep regular pool, but it's very small, and there's no regular chairs around it. They have just the cabanas in front of it, so you don't get to, no one gets to sit there in a regular chair. You have to have purchased a cabana. Then they have a wading pool that's 10 inches deep all the way around and has a little fountain in the middle, I guess for mostly for children. And then they have a third level, but it's just chairs. You know, who wants to just sit in chairs? And you don't really get sun because of the way the buildings are. It's just an awful situation. So you can't, don't, if you go there in the winter, that's fine. But don't go there to be in, by a pool. Their entrance. Okay, so for instance, my daughter was coming to pick us up to go to her house. The entrance, to get to Harrah's to pick people up, or just for cabs and Uber and Lyft, is one of the worst also. They don't have a front entrance off the Strip. It's in the back. You have to go around and about. It just is terrible.
I have to laugh about it because an Uber driver actually stopped and asked Jane, how do you get to the Uber stop at Harrah's?
Yeah, I mean, it's really... Once my daughter got there the first time, then it was a little easier each time after that. But it's go around. If you're going to be picked up, make sure you know where the stops are, because the cab stop is there, and then the Uber and Lyft are down a little further. And then they have a big parking garage there that you can access from the Strip, but that's about all you can access from there. Okay, there are positives about Harrah's, and as I said, the suite was one of them. It was a lovely suite, two rooms, two bathrooms. We had a great view. We actually got to see the volcano again, which I hadn't seen in years.
The Mirage Volcano.
We had a great view of the Strip from the room.
And the furniture, as they advertised, was brand new.
I mean, yes, everything just in there was new. They remodeled all the rooms, and that was one of them. A big positive for Harrah's is all the free entertainment that's there. They have the piano bar in the front of the casino, which has entertainment almost constantly. We happened to see an Elvis impersonator whose assistant was probably better than he was. Great songs. I mean, we were so impressed with it, and with the one song, Can't Help Falling in Love, everybody in the area that was watching was dancing, including the two of us.
And the other thing, Harrah's is available to, you can go to the Link Promenade, you can go to the
It's Central Strip.
Right, you can go to Ellis Island.
It's located in the center, right. You can go anywhere, but they also have, there's the Carnival Court that has entertainment. So there's just no lack of entertainment in that area. And as we said, I mean, you're just steps away from the Link Promenade. We actually walked through the Link to the Ellis Island. We went to dinner one night there. Love Ellis Island. That doesn't everybody.
Yeah, we want to take advantage of that world-famous $7.99 steak.
Right, which we always do, and it never disappoints us. And that place was really, really busy.
And that's the only place, including Fremont Street, where we saw a $5 table. It was
right,
$5
right.
Craps table.
That's, yeah, the other thing, the table limits are all up. But Ellis has stayed the same. Okay, I will say that because we have family in Las Vegas, that we wanted to spend time with them and visit with them, which we did, and that did solve our pool problem at Harrah's, because my daughter has a pool that was, you know, we swam there, and it was lovely there, sitting there. We were there for the whole day, a couple days almost, So it did curtail, though, our casino outings.
Yeah, I got Fast and Furious near the end of the trip, and I'm going to get into that next. But before I do that, I'm going to tell you about something that the YouTuber Norma Jelly told us about, and that is something called the Loop Bus, which is free. And how many bus trips on Las Vegas are not free? This is free. We'll be right back and talk about the Loop Bus. Well, maybe our sounds are a little bit overstated, but hey, not really. Hey, I want to thank YouTuber Norma Jelly, G-U-L-I. She pronounces it Jelly. Norma, you do a great job because she's the one that told us about this free Loop Bus. And what it is, it's a bus that you can pick up at the Strat. They have a nice waiting area on the outside of the Strat for it. It's called the Loop Waiting Area, and it takes you around downtown and drops you off at Fremont Street if that's where you want to get off. And of course, it's free. And it's a very nice bus. It's very comfortable, and it can hold a large number of people. And it runs throughout the day into the evening. So the hours are different every day, but they're posted. And so if you haven't taken that free Loop Bus, I wanted to see the Strat and see the remodeling in the casino, which is very impressive. But we also wanted to go downtown with friends. And we had, we were both armed with the American Casino Guide coupons and also the Las Vegas Advisor Reward Book coupons. And there's just a ton of them, two for ones and free play on Fremont Street. And so we wanted to spend the day there. But little did we know that the 105 or 6 degree temperature was our Fremont trip would become forever known as the Fremont Death March, because it didn't turn out the way we intended. You know, I told our friends, don't ever take my advice and burn those Fremont Street coupons, because it was so hot, you needed a shower as soon as you got back. The place just stunk it up. Oh my God, it's terrifying. Now, we did go and got two-for-one lunches at the Four Queens. We played there also. The lunches were fine, you know, nothing that you'd remember forever. Sort of like Thanksgiving leftovers, you know, they're good, but you won't remember them forever. But then we found a $1 bubble crafts machine. Any bet? I've never seen anything that low. Any bet? A line bet, place bet, any bet, dollar. You want to try different strategies, the Four Queens on Fremont is where to go. And then the El Cortez, oh my God, what a nightmare. Like, nobody even's alive in there. It was like all zombies, you know, it was so hot. So we had to depart quite early. The Fremont Street Death March, you know, we almost passed out from the heat. It was horrible. Oh, my God. The tolling bell and the laughter on the Loop Bus must have meant something. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how else to say it. But maybe go back when fall weather sets in and it's 65 degrees, 70 degrees, but don't go to Fremont Street when it's 105, 106, because it feels like you're in a third world country. It smells so bad. It's just so miserable. And heat stroke is a reality. You have to guard against it. So please take our advice and stay away from Fremont Street when the temperatures are in the 100s. Well, I wanted to talk about craps because I know we have a lot of people who follow the show because of our craps segment. And our craps play at the Luxor was just break even. I didn't lose any money, didn't win any money. Maybe $3 or $4, you know. It was nothing. I couldn't get it going, but also stayed above water. And so I had an opportunity to go against a dealer at Harrah's, a dealer who worked at another strip casino, whom we know and we're friends. And he said, you know, Fab, you think you know everything about craps. So I'm going to challenge you. We're going to play at a crapless table. And this is another thing that I've mentioned earlier in the show. The minimums on the strip are so high now. All the tables at Harrah's, the regular craps tables, were $25. And there was nothing less than $15. Now, this was on a Friday, so it was weekend. And to get a $15 table was a crapless craps table, which basically means there's no don't pass line. I could still play three-way craps. If you rolled on the come-out roll a craps number, a 2, a 3, a 12, or an 11, they were now point numbers. So That's the idea of crapless craps. And because of that, if you have a 2 or a 3 or a 12 for a point number or an 11, you know, chances are you aren't going to make it and you're going to lose. So the bet was $300 buy-in, $15 table, 60 minutes, count the money, and shake hands and see who won. And I actually won easily. The $15 table, I went back to an old standard that I play, $15 on the pass line, $6 on freeway craps. The dealer played smart craps, and that was all the difference. And I've said this, 50,000 times in my podcast career. Smart craps is the best mathematical way to play craps, but in the short run, anything could happen. And 15-6 is one of those things, anything could happen, because there were so many craps numbers thrown on the come-out roll, and one was a sequence of five in a row. And I won several hundred dollars because I kept pressing freeway craps up. And that knocked my friend out. And then to catch up, he started to make crazy bets. I also hit a couple bets on the come-out roll by hopping the hard ways. You know, for $5 high and a 10, hey, a hard 10 rolls on the come-out, that's 60 bucks. So that was a great afternoon for me, that one-hour craps play with a good friend. And so I wanted to share that with you. 15-6 to me means $15 on the pass line and $6 on three-way craps on the come-out. And I then place bet only the 6 and 8 for $18 each. And because they're most likely to roll, my friend to catch up placed all the numbers, and then a 7 down the road pretty much knocked out anything he made because he lost all the place bet numbers. So that was the difference in the play. And I did take some chances with hard ways, and they paid off. So I love 15-6. I'll play it on a regular table. I'll play it on a crapless craps table. It's just been so good to me over the years. And, you know, you're thinking that three-way craps bet is a waste of money until it hits, and then it hits again if you press it, and it hits again if you press it. Yeah, I'll chase craps numbers because the odds are just so great. The odds are so great. You know, you have $6 on a 12, you know, in your three-way craps sequence, and it hits. You got $180 there, friends. And, if you know, if it hits again, if a deuce hits, you got $180. And if you keep pressing it $6 each time, wow, it can take you into, you know, a small fortune, so to speak. But the smart craps players will tell you it's a terrible bet mathematically, and maybe it is. But when you only play for 1 hour, throw the mathematics of the game out the window because anything can happen. I also want to share with you how nice it is to be in Vegas, close to Allegiant Stadium, on game day. Now, their Monday night football games start at 5:15 because, you know, in the East, that's the big deal. So they have to live with 1 o'clock starts that are really 10 o'clock starts in Vegas, and Monday night games that start at 5:15. But it doesn't seem to matter. It's just a New Year's Eve atmosphere. It's wonderful. I enjoyed it so much. The hordes of California Raider fans, and then the locals who have now become part of Raider Nation. Hey, I bought a Raider Nation t-shirt, man, and I bought a Raiders hat, you know, and I'm from Pittsburgh. And Derek Carr looks so efficient and so good against the Ravens that I was almost certain that the Raiders could win that game a week later in Pittsburgh, and they did. So I want to talk about sports betting. Sports betting is mania right now. It's fantastic. The free sports books seats, however, are gone. You have to purchase a seat there, and it's generally $100 on a Saturday and $100 on a Sunday. Some are more, some are less. You get a couple of drinks. You get great, you know, service from the cocktail waitresses. You can also order food. Your receipt's reserved. You can come and go back to your room, go somewhere else. But that's the free seats in the sports books are gone now. It's something they're charging you for. And I got a question answered about video poker that I was not quite sure of. There was a boomer bartender at Harris that I enjoyed talking to. Not that I don't talk to young people. Well, of course I do. World's oldest teenager. But I said to him, sir, can you actually explain to me, when do I get free booze here? When do I get free drinks? I don't want to order a drink and pay $10 for it, you know. He said, well, sure, I'll explain it to you. He said, you have to bet $5. And if you do it by quarters, you know, you're not going to get it right away. Once you invest $5, a green light, he said, goes off in the back of the machine. And then they know that your drinks are free from that point. And I said, wow, I never knew that. He said, well, sure. And he said, I would suggest you betting $5 the first time you get the cards. You know, go to a dollar game and hit max, that's $5 bet. Instead of a quarter game, change it to dollar, and just for that one game, bet $5. I said, okay. Now, he's standing there watching me. I said, well, let me do it right in front of you, then I'll order a beer. He said, sure, fine. And he knew I was going to give him a tip, so he stood there and watched me. So I did. I bet $5, and I won $40. And he goes, wow, you won two ways. You got free beer coming, and you just beat the casino. So you know what? I'm going to play $5 more. You know, so I'm playing quarters, $1.25 max bet. And then when I'd get ahead, I'd go $5, and it happened again. You know, I got another $5 winner. So let me tell you, all of a sudden, video poker to me is every once in a while, play for $5. And boy, if you'd hit that royal flush, which I never have, on a $5 bet, you'd be talking hand pay, baby. So, wow. And that's it. We did enjoy going to Las Vegas with friends, if you're thinking about it. And I think, you know, you sit and talk and compromise. We went to that Irish pub a couple of times. We had a great, great first meal there. It's wonderful. It's the re-raw in the Mandalay walkway. Everything in it is authentic. The wood, everything was brought over from Ireland. But most importantly, so were the recipes. It's so authentic, and it's just wonderful. I had the best Irish coffee I ever had in my life there. I had the best serving of salmon I ever had in my life there. It's all done the way they would do it in Ireland, and it's just wonderful. I also want to thank the Luxor management for their professionalism. They're sensational to deal with. I've never been so welcomed and so treated with such professional courtesy as I have in the Luxor. And that's why we go back. And remember that tip, stay in the West Towers, beautiful rooms, you know, jump up to the suite because it's a great deal. Because the elevators from the West Tower, again, come down near the pool door. So you don't have to worry about walking through a casino. You're right there. The pool access is wonderful. So it's a fantastic thing. Las Vegas is not the way it was. Sports books are different. Restaurant prices are much higher. And that's still the appeal of Ellis Island because they offer such inexpensive yet great food. Harrah's does not have a strip entrance for automobiles. That's a real drawback. But the rooms have all been remodeled. I heard it's not true at the Flamingo. The rooms there are not as nice as the one in Harrah's. But if you want to use the pool, and then pool's a big deal, don't go to Harrah's. If you want to use the pool, go to Luxor. If the southern end of the strip is your thing, remember, you have the tram. It's free. Mandalay Bay Walkway, Luxor, Excalibur. You can walk to New York, and the Park MGM, all part of the M Life package. Harrah's, of course, is Caesars Entertainment. I bought an M Life credit card, and it's true. We did get free parking because of it. You just held it up, boom, that gate went up. You know, they scanned it. We did get delayed again coming back from Las Vegas. Thank you, Southwest, for not telling us. We were supposed to have a 4 p.m. Afternoon flight, so we went to the airport 2 hours ahead of time, and they backed it up all the way to 6:30, bit by bit. Every 20 minutes, you know, they announce the flight to Pittsburgh has been backed up 20 minutes, then 30 minutes, then 40 minutes. So it didn't take off to 6:30. So I got out my front door. We got back to our front door in our little town in the Pittsburgh suburbs at 3:15 a.m. Wow. And I had to get up the next day and go pick up our buddy Oliver at the Papuri boarding kennel. But we'd do it all over again. We love Las Vegas. You love Las Vegas. We love recreational gambling. And you know what? Come Sunday, we'll be at a local casino in the Pittsburgh area. Remember, if you get angry or see somebody who's angry, remember, Oliver, it's okay every once in a while to chew yourself out of your cage, you know. You got to deal with it somehow. Just get it out, you know. Chew yourself out of the cage. I've improved to 50-50 on my betting, and I don't know why you would follow me, but if you are following me, I'm taking on the money line the Buffalo Bills to beat the Washington football team. Also taking, I'm parlaying that with the bet I already got paid on. I didn't collect it yet, but I took the Packers to beat Detroit. So I parlayed that, see what happens, and I'm also taking the Cleveland Browns to beat the Bears. Yeah, and then that's going to be part of that three-way too. So I want a third of it right now. I'm waiting for the Browns to beat the Bears, and I'm waiting for Buffalo to destroy the Washington football team. There you have it. That's my bets for the upcoming weekend. Notre Dame, Wisconsin, romantically, my love for the Fighting Irish. It's not a good bet, but I'll take the Irish on the money line. And the Las Vegas Raiders are on a roll. We'll take them to beat Miami on the money line. Very strong football team, and you might use it in a parlay at one point or another. And, of course, it's the automatic Ohio State, but I don't know about the spread there. You know, they're hard to figure that way. Okay, well, hey, we're still that special place at Casinos USA, that special place where every day is Saturday. Thanks for listening. See you in a couple of weeks. And don't shoot out of your cage unless you have to. Then go right ahead. So long.